Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Chief Judge Cleary, Judge Werke, Judge Bradfield, the Honorable Edward J. Cleary presiding.
Morning, please be seated. Welcome to the Court of Appeals. The date is November 6th, 2019. We have three matters on for oral argument. The first matter is in the matter of the civil commitment of Eric Woods Halverson. Each side will have 15 minutes for argument. The appellant will have additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. We ask that the lawyers identify themselves when they begin their presentation. Appellant may begin when ready.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is R.J. Dietrich. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the appellant, the Commissioner of Human Services, in this matter. Eric Woods Halverson, the respondent in this matter, is committed to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program as a sexually dangerous person, and he petitioned for a reduction in custody from his commitment, either discharge, provisional discharge, or transfer to the non-secure community preparation services. He petitioned the SRB for this relief. The SRB recommended denying all three forms of relief. And then he petitioned the Commitment Appeal Panel for rehearing and reconsideration. And eventually his requests, at least for provisional discharge and discharge, were dismissed. And so the only thing remaining was a request for transfer. And that's all we're dealing with here today. Part two hearing in this matter, there were four experts that testified regarding in this case. Three of the experts testified that Mr. Halverson was not appropriate for a transfer to community preparation services, and one, the court-appointed examiner, testified that he was.
But as you know, the weight of the examiner's testimony is something that the CAP panel would determine. We don't reweigh that evidence.
Certainly, Your Honor, and you know, the CAP panel did make a credibility determination in this case that Dr. Marshall was credible, but this court's recent...
I don't interrupt you, but they found that Dr. Marshall was not only more credible than Dr. Thornton or Mack, too, and not just credible, but more credible than the others.
That's correct, Your Honor. But I don't think that that insulates the...
I also remember my trial practice days, and it's not the volume of evidence that you present. So whether you had five experts that testified that he was not ready to go into phase two, if you have only one person and that person is more credible, why would we upset that determination?
Well, Your Honor, as this court said in the recent Edwards decision, even if a credibility determination is made by the panel, that doesn't insulate the panel's decision from review, and this court still has to determine whether the weight of the evidence ultimately supports the panel's determination. And in this case, it does not. There was no kind of dispute at the hearing in this matter that respondent was struggling in treatment. He's in phase two of the three-phase MSOP treatment program, which is characterized as kind of the heart of the MSOP treatment program, where clients work on understanding the roots of their offending and really develop strategies to reduce their risk after they do that. And
counsel, it seems to me the CAP panel, though, made two findings rather significant to me. One is that the respondent here had made significant progress in treatment since the commitment, and that he did not require the current level of security that he has to continue treatment. That seems to suggest a fair amount of preponderance of evidence towards transfer.
Your Honor, certainly he's made progress in treatment since he first started, but that doesn't mean he's made sufficient progress to transfer to CPS. I think there was a lot of evidence at the hearing that CPS, as I said, is a much less structured facility. Christopher Schiffer, who is a former member of the clinical leadership at CPS, testified that a person at this stage of treatment is not ready to proceed to CPS because CPS is not as structured a treatment
program. It's not
program.
Structured, but it's not like it's free, I mean, the way I understand phase two, you have to earn your ability to be out in the community, and you're going through that sort of a treatment modality in order to earn more, to have less restrictions in place, to earn your privileges. What bothers me about any of these cases, and I think we all know it because we read the newspapers, is that nobody wants something to happen that's detrimental on their watch, and this guy does have a significant history. But I don't know, what is the concern about the phase two? What lack of security are you getting at? That he might walk away? That he might leave? I mean, what is fundamentally the concern of this reduced secure facility?
No, you're right. I don't think the concern is that he might abscond. I think the concern is that a transfer to CPS at this phase, at this point in his treatment, would stop his treatment progress. And Dr. Thornton testified in this matter that if respondent were transferred to CPS, he believed that he would never advance in treatment and address kind of the core aspects of treatment that he really needs to address in order to reduce his risk and ultimately be safe to return to the community.
What was the type of treatment that he would miss out on? That was never articulated, was it?
The concern is that CPS, Community Preparation Services, focused on reintegration into the community. That's what it's all about. And I don't think there's really any disagreement in the record that Mr. Halverson isn't ready for reintegration. He's not ready to start going into the community. And admittedly, if he were transferred to CPS today, he wouldn't start immediately going on community outings.
What are the five factors that the CAP panel looks at? Tell me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're saying that his clinical progress and treatment needs is probably the weightiest of the reasons that he should not go to phase two?
His clinical progress, his present treatment needs, the facility that best meets his needs, his need for institutionalization.
But those are all factors, public safety, his need to have greater security. I'm just asking if you think that is the weightiest of the factors, that he needs to complete his treatment.
I wouldn't say complete his treatment, but that he needs to further advance in treatment is probably the weightiest of the factors. I think the other factors also show that transfer is not appropriate at this time, but I would agree that that would be the weightiest of the factors.
Counsel, part of my problem in listening to advocate for your client is that, well, first off, the findings of the panel, so they suggest that this, CPS offers the same treatment program as MSOP, and that we're all in agreement of that. He will not progress to phase three in earned liberties until he's gone much further. So really what you're doing, in a sense, in your argument is suggesting what the experts said that were found less credible than the expert that the CAP agreed with, which is to say that they simply find that the need for deinstitutionalization reintegration are high at this point. He's 68. He's been in there 11 years. It seems to me that they made a rational decision on the preponderance of the evidence here.
Your Honor, I don't think there is evidence in the record that supports that determination that the need is high at this point. Yes, he's been in a secure facilities for a long time, but I think that's exactly the point of why he's not ready, part of exactly the point why he's not ready for a transfer at this point, because he hasn't made a sufficient progress where he's ready to deal with that. And again, I go back to Dr. Thornton's testimony about the fact that if he were transferred, he would never progress in treatment because of the focus of reintegration at CPS. And the fact that
why is that so wrong that CPS focuses on reintegration? I realize he's not there yet. We're not talking about the final phase yet. But why is it wrong that they would feel that the expert who suggests that at this point in this man's life, reintegration should be at least examined without liberties into the community yet? I get that. But public safety is still being secure here by all findings that I've read here. So why not examine that? Why not see if there's any room for reintegration?
Because, so the point he's at in treatment is he's still understanding what led to his offending. He doesn't acknowledge his sadistic tendencies. He doesn't acknowledge that he seeks that he has arousal towards infliction of harm, pain against others. And the testimony was that if he's transferred and in that environment where the focus is reintegration, he'll be distracted from focusing what he really needs to focus on, which is this other piece. And so he won't be able to ever really deal with that issue and continue to advance in treatment.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the one of the findings here is that he regularly attends treatment program and is an active and engaged participant. He continues to need it. They agree with you on that, including work on sexuality, self-monitoring, and emotional regulation. But they say he can continue to work on that at CPS and still be considered for reintegration. You're saying that he's going to be distracted and that he won't do that? Is that what you're arguing?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the only really reason that Dr. Marshall, the expert who supported a transfer, gave for to kind of discount this distraction issue was the fact that the treatment at CPS is the same in that it's, you know, it's the same modules. It's, you know, you do group therapy like you do within the secure perimeter, et cetera. But that's not the point. I don't think she addressed the fact and the testimony from the other experts, which she largely said she agreed with, by the way, that that this transfer would distract him from addressing what he needs to address in treatment and potentially stop him from, ever being to a point where he can be released back into the community.
Am I right in suggesting if that's true, the public safety is not at risk at this stage? I mean, he's not going to, according to the findings here, he doesn't progress to phase three in our liberties and in the community until he has mastered his sexual offense dynamics, et cetera, learned to effectively manage the sexual deviance. So he doesn't get out, right? So what is the downside to this CAP panel wanting to see whether he can handle phase two?
Well, Your Honor, there certainly are concerns about public safety. I mean, there was testimony that his static risk factors are high. He's well above average on risk, according to that. Dr. Mack also testified that the risk assessor.
Can I ask you a broader question? Is there ever anybody who could come from MSOP to phase two and not be some type of a risk?
I have trouble answering that in a vacuum, Your Honor. I'm sure there.
I'm not trying to put you in the spot, except that that argument could be made to stop everyone who's ever been in the MSOP program. I mean, mm-hmm. Because technically, they're all a risk, or they wouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right, Your Honor. And certainly, I would concede that risk is a lesser of the concerns here, and that it's more about his treatment needs, his the institutionalization piece, which there was testimony he needs the simple, the secure environment that he's used to in order to continue advancing in treatment and not be distracted from his treatment goals. Again, I'd go back to kind of the equivocal nature of Dr. Marshall's testimony, who was the only testimony in favor of transfer. Dr. Marshall said that she agreed with most of what the other experts said. She also said that there was a concern that if he's transferred, there is at least a possibility that if he's transferred to CPS, that the focus on reintegration could distract him from his treatment and what he needs to be focused on. She also testified, she acknowledged that he's struggling in treatment right now, and she acknowledged the possibility that a transfer is not actually appropriate according to his current treatment needs because of those struggles. I think that there is a lot of the evidence, really, you know, all of the evidence indicates that he is struggling in treatment. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I don't think there's really much of any doubt that he's not ready to actually be reintegrated into the community. And so if he's not ready for that portion of CPS, which is the whole point of CPS, then what's the point of transferring him to CPS at this point before he addresses what he needs to address? With that, the commissioner's position is that the CAP panel's determination should be reversed, and I'd ask that the court reverse that order and deny the transfer. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
If it pleases the court, Mr. Dietrich, my name is Warren Moss. I am the attorney for Eric Woods Halverson.
Counsel, I'm going to ask you right away, just kind of attached to what your opponent said there. What about Dr. Marshall, who is the expert that the CAP panel relied on, does suggest that he is, your client struggled in treatment, admits he has struggled, and is in the middle of phase two. Given that, isn't there an argument he should have stayed put?
Your Honor, he's a human being, and progress is, in human terms, never linear. He's going to struggle. Every one of us struggles whenever we make progress. But Dr. Marshall also said that she has never seen anyone so engaged as my client. And the court found that he was engaged, that he is motivated, that he is trying. And if he's struggling, how is that different from any other human endeavor? He's supposed to struggle. But I would suggest, Your Honor, there is commitment is based on two factors. Going back there are two things that a court has to find in order to civilly commit someone. One, that there is some kind of a mental illness or treatment need. Let's put it that way, that there's a treatment need, and the other is public safety. The state has no interest when one of these is satisfied. And we're not asking for discharge here. We're asking for the maximum amount of freedom that this person is entitled to. And the maximum amount of freedom he's entitled to is CPS. And Dr. Thornton stated quite clearly that risk is not an issue. Dr. Marshall thought risk is not an issue. And so
it's not an issue, I think, counsel, as I understand the record, because there are some supervision mechanisms in place at CPS.
Right. Right.
But I think the argument I'm hearing from opposing counsel that I'd like to hear you address, and maybe that's where you're headed,
right,
is that while it is certainly true that CPS has some supervision, the point of CPS is reintegration. And if Mr. Halverson's not ready for reintegration, why transfer him to CPS? And it seems that all the experts do agree he's not ready for reintegration, which would be the ultimate goal of CPS.
Right. But he can progress towards that point while at CPS. He doesn't need to be there. If that were the case.
Doesn't need to be at MSOP.
Huh?
He doesn't need to be at MSOP to make the progress. Is that what you're saying?
Right. He doesn't need to be in the secure, what is described as a sterile, secure perimeter. He doesn't need to be there.
For the purposes of public safety. But I guess the argument, again, I'm just hoping that you'll address specifically what the appellant argued, which is there is the thought, certainly strongly by the commissioner's expert, but Dr. Marshall concedes it somewhat, that it actually would hamper Mr. Halverson's treatment goals to move him to CPS.
Although it might hamper it, it won't necessarily stop it. I don't think that even Dr. Thornton, on cross-examination, would agree that that there is an absolute. I mean, no one can predict that he absolutely will stop progressing if he's sent to CPS. And here, Your Honor, are we going to reweigh the thinking of the court? He's made sufficient progress to go to CPS. He's made sufficient clinical progress to go to CPS. That is what the court found. And to find otherwise, you have to find clear evidence that that's not true.
We have all the experts and we've talked about the volume of testimony, but Christopher Schiffer also testified. And I just for my clarification, Christopher Schiffer said all of the leadership opposed a transfer. What did he mean by leadership? Is he talking about other people like case managers, or is he talking about the doctors?
He's not even talking about doctors necessarily, Your Honor. He's talking about the administrative head of the clinical division. I questioned that myself. Is why are we filtering it up through the administration for the clinical picture? There was no therapist. There are former therapists that are part of clinical leadership, but the clinical leadership itself is the administrative head of the clinical team.
I assume that to be the case, but it was interesting because it wasn't a doctor that was presenting that testimony, and I didn't quite understand the leadership aspect. Thank you.
Right. And again, I'd go back to Dr. Marshall's testimony that she's never seen anyone so engaged. So he's stuck on an issue. He's also motivated and is trying hard to get there. And I think that there's an inconsistency that CPS is focused on reintegration and not treatment, and yet they have the treatment that the person is engaged in following him to that program. I mean, if the only purpose of CPS was reintegration, then we might have a point. But as I recall, there was testimony that when you get to CPS, there are a number of stages, and I'm a little fuzzy at this point. It's phase two is actually the treatment phase that he's in. Phase three is something different than CPS. When you're at CPS, there are a number of stages that one goes through, and when he were he to go there, he would be in stage one, and he would be unable to go out for unescorted walks. And
do you have any idea how many individuals are in this present phase that you're talking about?
At CPS?
Right now, when he gets moved to this lesser secure facility where he'll have the ankle bracelet and that kind of monitoring, how many individuals are presently there? Do you have any idea?
I do not. I'm sorry. There are, as far as I know, 87 persons at CPS, and every one of them wears an ankle bracelet and will continue to wear that ankle bracelet even into provisional discharge.
Following up on that, you may not know the answer to this, but do you know what percentage or how many of the CPS phase twos have moved on to phase three?
Zero, Your Honor, which is a burr under my saddle, but there are at this point no one that MSOP has promoted to phase three. I guess, in conclusion, I would assert that everything that Mr. Dietrich is asking of you is to reweigh the evidence. He wants you to look at the details and see if you agree with them or not. But to affirm, you don't need to agree with the outcome, and to reverse, you would need to find not just that you disagree with the commitment appeal panel, but that they made a clear mistake in their findings. And I would assert that they found correctly that they are the ones that get to judge credibility. Even in the Edwards case that Mr. Dietrich cited, it wasn't that Dr. Tippett was found to be incredible by this court. It was that although credible, she testified in opposition, as it were, to the relief sought. And that isn't the case here. Acknowledging that you see problems is not the same thing as saying, but that's reason enough to stop the transfers. Dr. Marshall acknowledged all of the issues that Mr. Halverson is having and still said, but in my opinion, he's ready to go. And the court said, in my opinion, Dr. Marshall is correct. So I would ask that you would affirm this finding.
Thank you, Mr. Moss. Mr. Dietrich, any rebuttal?
Your Honor, first of all, that this idea that Dr. Marshall said that Mr. Halverson is the most engaged treatment participant she's ever met, I believe, is what Mr. Moss said. I don't think that that's in the record. Certainly, she had some glowing things to say about him, but she acknowledged that his treatment participation has waxed, his willingness to participate in treatment has waxed and waned, and she acknowledged, that he's struggling in treatment, and the records also reflect that. The records reflect that he's intentionally avoided at times addressing some of this core treatment work. And that he's, contrary to what the court found, that he's often, just an observer in treatment and not an active participant.
Mr. Dietrich, just a quick question. Have there been cases where the commissioner has not opposed a move to CPS?
Yes, Your Honor. There have.
Okay. Do you know how many?
I don't off the top of my head. But certainly there have been cases. There have been cases where the commissioner has not opposed discharge. Now, Mr. Moss, I think, also said that he agreed that Mr. Halverson isn't ready for reintegration and that there's at least a possibility that a transfer to CPS would hamper his treatment progress. So I don't see the point of a reason for a transfer to CPS. The reasonable degree of safety for the public factor is just one of several factors that the court has to consider. And I think there's case law that's cited in the appellant's brief that says that you can't base a transfer off of just one factor.
None of the experts indicated that that was a great concern of theirs, did they?
Actually, Dr. Mack at least did indicate that that was.
He said that he's a risk, but did he say that there was something insufficient about the CAP, the facility, in terms of being able to monitor Mr. Halverson?
Not in so much. I don't think that he would abscond, as in leave treatment.
There is
right.
Security that's in place. They don't have a razor fence, but they've got the ankle bracelet and they've got the video monitoring and things of that nature.
That's correct, Your Honor. But I believe that Dr. Mack's testimony was that she still was concerned from a public safety standpoint about a transfer of Mr. Halverson to CPS, partly because there's less staff supervision there and there is more, ability to be alone with, certain people that are in his victim pool. So it's not that there was no concern from any of the experts about the public safety piece of things. But I think with that, if there are no further questions, I would just ask that the court reverse the CAP panel's decision and deny the request for transfer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dietrich. Thank you, Mr. Moss. Appreciate the arguments. The matter will be taken under advisement. Opinion will issue within 90 days. And we will adjourn until 11:15 for our next oral argument.